Yeah, welcome back, everybody. This is going to be our second episode. How's everybody feeling?
I think we're feeling good. We're feeling more comfortable, if you will. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's always hard to do the first try. Definitely was super anxious and feeling weird.
We're staring at the timer. Definitely try not to laugh every second. Yeah.
You know. Try not to be distracted by all the cops outside.
Oh, yeah. There will definitely be cars, ambulances, maybe some sounds that are caught in the background while we figure out how to...
We swear we live in a safe area.
Yes.
We do.
But until we are able to save some money for some nicer equipment or, you know, ways
to... Learn how to edit.
Yes. Just enjoy those sounds in the back. It makes it feel more like you're sitting with us at the table.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming back, listening to... Thanks if this is your first time joining us. I would like to remind everybody that we had a daily practice. We were supposed to begin June 1st. Have either of you started your daily practice?
I have not started, and to be honest, I completely forgot about the daily practice.
We all forgot. So when we were writing out...
We had a master plan.
Yeah, we had a master plan.
We had an itinerary,
We had an itinerary, Google calendar, written, you know, paper calendars. We have everything written out to a T, and we had assigned ourselves a challenge of creating a daily practice, completing it starting the beginning of the month of June, and then at the end, we were going to talk about how that went, if we were able to keep up with it, et cetera, et cetera, except none of us forgot. I mean... None of us remembered.
Yeah.
We all forgot to even begin it. I just got back from a trip visiting some family in California, spending some time with my boyfriend after graduation. You know, we all work. Sarah has two jobs. Miriam has a job and she has her studio time. I think it all just slipped our minds. And to be honest, I forgot we were going to be recording the first episode until the day before. So... we really need to be more on top of this, but I think it would be really good if we could talk about what we want to do with our daily practice, because I think it's going to be a little bit different for each of us, and maybe ways we can help each other be accountable, and even how we can help make ourselves more accountable. Yeah. So what are you guys thinking about for that?
For me, I think I just really want to draw every day. Like, even if it's, like, 15 minutes, an hour, you know, 5 minutes, like, a quick doodle. I think sometimes, like, it's easier for me to draw out my thoughts or my feelings other than just, like, writing about it. Like, I don't really keep a diary or anything like that. But I really want to get back into drawing. I haven't really drawn anything seriously. I don't know. It's just so hard for me to sit down and start drawing.
Which will lead to our topic.
Yeah, I feel like I haven't really done much drawing since graduation. Even before graduation, I wasn't really drawing in my work. So
you were working more on the fabric and pieces and sewing and
That's something I really want to get back to, because drawing is
fundamental.
It's also my first love, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't want to forget my first love. What about you guys?
For me, I found this beautiful paper at Savers. It's over there under the stack of stuff that I've been putting off. And I want to make my own kind of, not sketchbook, but like just book. I'll be drawing on each page. And then at the end of the month, put it all together, because I still have to figure out how exactly I want to put it together. And it would be just of, drawings here and there, but I mostly write, like, my sketchbooks, I'm doing air quotes, my sketchbooks, they're just me drawing, or me writing. It's it's just my own thoughts, or things I hear, stupid things I see, and maybe, like, a dumb doodle here or there, but it's mostly just, like, writing, and I want to play a lot more with writing and composition and adding kind of just interesting things in there. And then also practice bookmaking, because I haven't done that, and I think I suck at it again.
So would you be
project?
So would you be doing a sketch drawing every day, and then working on the bookmaking?
I think at the end of the month, it'll be me assembling the book.
Okay, gotcha.
And then
gotcha.
Each day I'll be filling up a page or just doing something with a page
right.
each day.
Yeah. And then no, the end we'll be putting mm-hmm. it together.
Yeah.
Got it.
That's really funny because like you write down your thoughts.
Yeah,
and stuff,
we're like opposite.
And like for me I can't write.
Yeah.
Like I don't write.
Yeah.
Which
is funny because you're always the most organized person and you come
yeah.
the most prepared with
I
things
know.
Written out.
Really,
you were the one
like
that reminded us about
yes.
today.
I don't know. I don't feel organized, guys, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, that would be another topic.
What about you, Marissa?
I have not thought about what I want to do for my daily practice at all. I think it's because I'm just stuck between so many options. Like,
yeah.
I was thinking I could, you know, write a script in embroidery every day, like that be my task, but that is such a time consuming.
Yeah,
anyone who had me in this last semester of drawing, I was working on a quilt, hand embroidered, and did not go as expected. Lots of obstacles and very time consuming, laborious process. But I think it's a good challenge to keep that in practice because that was very fundamental to my work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking maybe I could just write a sentence out or a name out and embroider that and then have a collection of these at the end of the month and maybe use those, you know, incorporate them into some collage pieces, you know, later on and just kind of have them as I find, like, as anyone would use scraps or, you know,
yeah.
to make other things. But I'd also really like, since I am trying to get back into, you know, put my foot back into the door of the tattoo industry and world, I would like to try to work on a piece of flash every day, which if you don't know what flash is, it's, how do I describe flash?
It's like a grungy, I guess?
Yeah.
Like,
if you ever have walked into a tattoo shop, and you see frames all over the wall, sheet of paper with maybe 3 to 5, sometimes more, sometimes less, images. Those are flash sheets. You know, things that you can point at and say, I want this, $120, that's the set price. Boom, 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 you get that work done. And I'd really like to, you know, work and get better at creating traditional tattoo imagery. And really studying, you know, the greats like Sailor Jerry, just looking at those things. A lot of times you begin tracing them so you can get a feel for the repetition of shapes that happen in them because they are very basic forms that are repeated over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, working on spit shading because that is a very difficult, I think it's tricky to get the hang of. And I had started them, and I really liked them when I was practicing them, and then, you know, school gets in the way. But I think they're really a great thing to do. It's really, like, you have to be very disciplined and take your time with them because you're just using inks and washes. So if you're not careful and you get a drop on the sheet, then you're done and you start over. That would also be a very time-consuming thing to do one a day.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than doing, like, flash sheets a day, I might just do, like, one image, traditional style. But I also think it might be important for me to not do something like that, the embroidery or the flash every day, and just do something simple. Because I always have had, like, a tendency to overthink things or try to overplan them, so then the work is never actually done.
Yeah.
And it might be better for me to just open a sketchbook and just doodle whatever I want to do, something simple, something funny, something serious. Maybe it might be text. Maybe it might be a quick sketch, thumbnails. So I just don't know what to do.
Yeah, I feel like since I guess none of us really have a daily practice, I could say.
Yeah.
I think for jumping back into a daily practice or starting a daily practice for the first time, like, that we don't want to put too much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because then we'll set ourselves up for failure.
Yeah.
Or feel bad if we don't do something every day.
The guilt.
Yeah.
The artist guilt.
4 days behind.
Yeah.
So I could try something simple, and then if you feel like you can push it further,
yeah,
then might as well go for it. Because, I mean, obviously, like, flash and embroidery are something that you want to you know,
continue regardless.
Maybe you could do, like, each week come up with one flash, and every day of that week work on a particular characteristic of that flash.
Yeah, like lining.
Because you talked about shapes and stuff, and so maybe it could be, like, the build-up, and that week you have a flash.
Mm-hmm. I'll figure it out, guys, and then I'll let you all know, and then at the end of the month, we'll reconvene and share what happened.
So, how are you guys going to, like, be posting about your daily practice, or what do you guys think about it? Like, is it just going to be for you?
I think I'll definitely do Instagram stories just once a day, because I do want to be more active on my Instagram account, and I'm really bad at posting stuff, and I feel like that's not something I'd want to post, but something I'd want to share so people can see that I am working on things.
Yeah,
but I would like to do Instagram stories, and then, you know.
I don't like posting my artwork on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
It is tough. It can be tough.
It's like a weird topic, I guess.
Yeah, to be continued on another podcast.
Yeah, true. I think the same. I think I will just post them, like, on my story, but probably not on my Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Just, like, something that'll be up for like 24 hours and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if y'all would like to keep me accountable, my Instagram handle is @MarissaWhitaker_. And that's it. And you can see if I'm posting my stories.
Yeah, we'll tag
every
her.
Day.
Yeah, call her out.
Call me out.
Maybe some of them will make it to the official Sundays at Sarah's Instagram.
Maybe. Oh yeah, that would be
we
cute.
Should do that.
And then I can tag you.
Yeah.
So they could find you.
Very true, very true. So yeah, I don't know, guys. We'll try to keep each other accountable. We'll try to keep ourselves going. It is a really difficult thing, I think, and this kind of leading into our main topic for today is addressing this idea or question, do you have to live and breathe art? Because I think this is like a statement that gets thrown around sometimes, and it can be really discouraging to hear someone say, you're only an artist if you're pooping, shitting, breathing, consuming art 24/7, or you're not a real artist if you didn't think about, or you're not blah, 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 you know, whatever it is, because oftentimes that's not the reality, at least in my experience. So yeah, this is kind of like the leeway into our main topic, guys.
And I feel like when you define that phrase, like living, breathing art, it's someone who finds art constantly positive, are always in a positive outlook, which it is a creative thing, but not always positive for the artist.
Yeah. I think my first reaction to when I hear someone say live, breathe, eat art is someone that has all the, like, the world is at their feet. Like, they have the ability, they don't have to work more than 20 hours a week. They're not full-time students. They don't have deadlines. They have everything for them. And that's not my reality. My reality is I work two jobs. I'm a full-time student. And I have family that I have to struggle with. And living, breathing, and eating art is not my reality. And even if I could have that possibility, I would not want it because my art would be boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the struggle for me. Yeah, what do you guys think? What's your first reaction when you hear someone, oh, you should be living, breathing, shitting art?
I just think it's unrealistic. Like, like you said, all of us had to work while being... And again, this is not everybody's reality, but, you know, working a part-time job, maybe getting 22 to 35 hours a week, varying, being a full-time student, and then having... You know, you might have I have a relationship. I was in a relationship almost 4 out of the 5 years I was in college. You know, so finding time to balance your personal relationship, your family relationships, your job, your school, your, you know, quit, like, everything that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so unrealistic. And when I hear people say it, I don't believe that that's their experience either. I really don't believe that. You might wake up every day and see, like, oh, everything is art. Yeah. This is art. Like, that might be, you know, there are a lot of things that I can appreciate day to day that I think, that's beautiful. This sunrise, this experience, this moment, this furniture, whatever it might be. I love ceramic ware. I love looking at my mugs and stuff. And that's beautiful. And you can associate a lot of things with art. That doesn't mean I'm living, breathing, shitting art, but I don't know. Like, I just think it's such a naive statement to say. And I think, like I said earlier, it can be very discouraging for younger people who are... I remember the first time I heard it, I thought, am I not a real artist? Because I'm not constantly studying contemporary work. I'm not constantly looking at art history. I'm not constantly drawing. I'm not constantly thinking. Sometimes I'm just thinking about my bills. Sometimes I'm thinking about, oh, did I make enough time for Michael this week? Did I spend enough time with my dog? Like, I don't know. I think these are real things that people think about, and it's just not a way people can live.
And, like, hearing you guys say that, it's so strange because, like, Sarah literally works in the art field in both of her jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Marissa, like, and both of you guys being printmakers, you need to be in the studio for such long periods of time. And even when I was in school, we were there on the weekends, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was no possible way that we were not going to be there on the weekends. Like,
yeah.
We were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
If I worked 4:30 to midnight, I would be there from the moment the studio opened until 30 minutes before I went into work.
Exactly. And it's like, we are living, breathing art because that is some... Like, we had to be there, you know? We had to get our work done. But I don't think any of us would define it as living, breathing, shitting art.
Yeah.
So it's, like, really strange how that, like, correlates. But I think a lot of it has to deal with, like I said earlier, our perspective on art and art making. Like, for, like, long periods of time, I'm not constantly looking for art. Like, I don't always want to look at art. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what? Sometimes it's just, like, my mind needs a break. Like, mm-hmm. I don't... Sometimes you compare yourselves to other artists, and you're
that's a big thing.
Like, why am I not working as often? You know, people mm-hmm. who post on Instagram, like, or just,
or am,
like,
I getting the same recognition?
Yeah, or...
Same opportunities?
Yeah, same with the opportunities. Yeah, I feel that a lot. So it's, like, it's okay to take a break from art. And I think if you want to make it your career, breaks are a good thing. Like,
yeah.
I know sometimes I go, like, 2 weeks without being in the studio. I feel really bad about it, but in the end, when I come back, like, stronger. Or, like, I come back and I want to stay longer. But you need that break sometimes.
Yeah, and I guess how, like, you were saying about guilt, I think that's a big part of why I feel like I don't define my jobs as me doing art, because I'm not doing the art that I want to. I am
mm-hmm.
I am talking about art, I am teaching art, but it's not, like, ultimately my own art. And I don't know, it kind of makes me feel guilty because I should be doing so much more for my future. I need to be doing, like, 10 times more than what I'm doing now. And I guess how you're saying is just, like, we do need a break. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm not, right now I'm thinking, like, yeah, like, I'm teaching, but I'm also learning from the kids I teach. When I talk about art, not only am I talking about it, but I'm learning how to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm practicing it. So, yeah, I guess I am doing art, but it's, like, more, like...
it's not your personal work.
Yeah.
It's not, like, the first thing you think of when you think
right.
about making art. I think one of the things that we talked about earlier was being a hobbyist versus as somebody who's making art their career.
Yeah.
This is a tough topic.
What
yeah.
is a hobbyist?
Yeah.
Let's define this.
I think someone who obviously doesn't want to make, like, art their career. Something that they find creative, that they just need to, like, release
an
some
outlet.
Energy. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, like an outlet, like a hobby. So that, like, in that way, I feel like if it feels better for you to feel like you're living, breathing, shitting art as a hobbyist. Like, I feel like people who are hobbyists kind of find that as a comfort?
Mm. I don't know. I always think of hobbyists like Hobby Lobby. But I want to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess that for me, when I think about like hobby art versus, like you said, someone who's, yeah, if you want to call it fine art, not even having to go to school for it, you know, but we kind of talked about kind of a sincerity in your art.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess when I think of hobby art, I think of someone painting a sunset or the ocean. And those can be very valid art. You know, there's tons of work like that. People who are, there's a woman artist that I was watching on PBS that she's painting the glaciers. And they're really beautiful, hyper-realistic, large-scale paintings of the glaciers. And, of course, her message is that she, and she's working with scientists that are studying how quickly they're melting this changing landscape and trying to capture things as they are now before that changes and disappears as climate is evolving, versus someone who is just painting a pretty picture of a glacier and selling it for $200, and you see your friends who are working and spending the time in the studio can't even make $20 on a print. I think that's where I'm seeing like a difference between a hobbyist and that. But then it's so hard because, like we'll probably say a million times at the podcast, is that art is so subjective.
Right.
And, I mean, what right do I have to give someone else a title and tell them what their work is or is not? But that is how I feel that, you know, I don't like it when I see, like, a beautiful sunset for $300. And then this work that has all this meaning and intent and is beautiful, like, can't be supported, can't be paid what it should be paid, you know, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I think a lot about Bob Ross. I love him. He's great. I remember watching him on PBS, but, like, a lot of people kind of take him as, like, the painter, and, but I'm thinking, that's hobby.
I do think that is like a hobbyist thing.
A hobbyist, yeah.
Great guy, great TV message. Personality, great message, beautiful skills, but it is that like a like you learned, how do I say, like a formula, if you will, a formula for painting a tree. But
well, yeah. And then that goes, because I think this is could be another topic as well, because once you find a formula and just stick to the formula, are you challenging yourself anymore?
Yeah,
and maybe is that the difference between a hobbyist and a serious artist? Let's not call it fine artist. That's dumb. Because there's a lot of fine art that can be hobbyist.
Yes. Or just bad.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fine art that can be bad.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hobbyist art that could be good.
Yeah.
Like you were saying.
Yeah, so maybe, and I don't know, maybe some hobbyists do have a lot of concepts behind their ideas, and maybe they are pushing themselves on their techniques and skills, and I forgot where I'm going with this, but there could be, like a whole different thing on that. Like, where do you stop learning? And
I think that was something that I was thinking about earlier, was, like, when you stop learning and you kind of have that cocky attitude.
Yeah, you're talking about
and,
that.
Yeah, like,
it's something that puts off.
That will really kind of, like, make my perception of you negative, especially when I can see that there's room for improvement.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not the only one that can see that there's room for improvement. Like, obviously, like, we all went to art school or currently are going to art school, and, like, weekly we have critiques. So we're taught how to train our eye for certain things that can be improved. So when we see other art that's not only our own, but others, we can always find something that can be improved because we're constantly doing critiques.
Yeah.
So when I see somebody who says that their artwork is perfect and there's like no negative feedback at all or
just a bunch of blind support.
Yes, exactly. That will automatically kind of like put you aside.
It hinders your growth.
And it'll put you aside in my mind. Maybe that's not right of me, but that's kind of like somebody who I feel would say the term, yes, I live, breathe, have mastered the shitting of art. Like, you know.
Mm-hmm. I laugh when people tell me they've mastered something. I'm like, there is no way. There's always something new to learn from that one practice, idea, or technique. Like, there's no way you've mastered something unless you're like a master printer and have the title of it from Tamarind.
That's just a technique, but not a mastered concept.
Right.
So, those are my 2 cents on that.
Do we have any other bullet points on that?
Just like good versus bad art, but...
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I think this goes a lot with critique, because we are supposed to look for the good and the bad within a piece. And what I always try to do within a critique is, one, I try to participate as much as possible because that brings my grade up. But also because it makes me practice talking about other people's art and seeing the good and the bad within it. So if I see, and again, this is all subjective and this all differs from person to person.
Right.
But like, there's so much someone can improve. Like, it's limitless. So what I always try to do is try and think about not good and bad art, but what can be improved and what is successful. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm trying to think of a certain person who did an installation. I'm not going to talk about that. But I mean... I guess maybe the incentive, them trying to do something that they've never done before was great, but their approach to it, or maybe, just kind of...
If it's your first time, it's not going to be perfect.
Yeah, something we should all learn, we should all know, is that it's not going to work the first time.
And one thing that always helped me get through, like, bad critiques or just feeling behind in art was something Miriam said, which was, you're not always going to be making... I don't want to say it wrong, but you're not always making your strongest art, or it's not always going to be
the best drawing.
Like,
that's my mantra.
Yeah, that really...
What did I say?
That really helped get me through a lot of my, like, last few semesters... feeling like I went from this and now I'm dropping down and like, you know, feeling
so
like
fluctuating.
Your work will always fluctuate.
Uh-huh. I think it was, not every drawing is going to be the best drawing.
I think it was.
That's how I remember it. What wise words from Miriam.
Wow.
That got me through a lot of my own work.
I write that.
Yeah.
For me. But it's true, right? We can all say that we've had our good and bad crits throughout the years,
and
it'll probably continue to.
But, I don't know, I guess that goes back to good and bad art. It's all subjective, but then I feel like I think there is no such thing as good and bad art, right? Because it's all subjective, and, like, there is no answer to that, but there is, art that challenges you a bit more than other art, so easy art versus art that is pushing it. Kind of like if I were to drop down, and I'm not gonna, like, Andy Warhol, great, whatever, he was great for when he was doing that, but I do see people kind of mimicking what he's doing now, just kind of dropping a pop icon and spray painting or doing something on top, and I feel like, oh, shit, I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. But, like, that could be, like, easy art, like maybe the technique process, but it's easy to look at, you get exactly what's going on, and challenging art is more like something that is not so easily understood or digested.
Yeah, and I feel like there is nothing wrong with practicing some techniques that have already been done, but when people don't take it further, don't make it their own, that is when you can see the difference, or you can see that where they got that from, their inspiration or their sources. And I think that's something that we think about when we critique art. Like,
I think something that was mentioned earlier in terms of, like, do you have to live and breathe art, and that constituting a real artist? What is a real artist? And, like, have you ever been told, like, oh, you're not a real artist? Or have you ever not felt like a part of the art community? Maybe, like, just here in El Paso, there have definitely been times where I felt like that, or been made to feel like
belittled.
Yeah, kind of belittled for the work that you do. I've definitely felt belittled for going to school for art. I got that comment from a stranger one time, someone that I had just met, that, you know, I was introducing myself and, like, saying that I went to school, and they asked me what I was going to school for, and I said drawing and printmaking, and then they made a comment to me that it was like, oh, well, I don't need to go to school for that. Like, nobody needs to go to school for that. Why would you do that? And it's like such a waste of money. Some of the best people don't even go to school. And I mean, those things can be true, and you can spend a lot of money on that. I don't know where I was going with this point, but it's just like, why, like,
what did he tell you that made you feel like he belittled you? I'm saying he, but I don't know who it was.
This was a girl. There was a time where another guy had, he was going to be doing, like, some sort of zine or interview thing, and someone had recommended me, like, he was going to be interviewing local artists in El Paso,
to be a
you
part
know,
of the zine?
Something like that, and it was, you know, all about, you know, celebrating local artists, local talent, pushing them to the forefront, all these things, and someone had recommended me, and his comment was that, oh, well, she's not, like, a real artist. And so I'm like, what does that mean? Is it because I don't have my own studio space? Is it because I work from my room because that's what's available to me? Is it because I'm going to school instead of saying, F the system, and doing it on my own? Because you can do that and be successful, but you can go to school and be successful. And it's just, like, people who make those comments, it's, like, very, I feel pretentious and snobby of them. And then it's like, are you a real, like, throw the question back to you.
Yeah. I have also received a similar comment about being, like, about going to art school. Like, it was just, like, a random person online. And they asked me, like, what do I study? And I said, drawing. And they said, if I wanted to study, or if I wanted to do drawing, I could teach myself. And immediately I blocked that person. But in my head, I'm like, you won't, though. You won't. Like, you don't have that motivation. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't think people understand how many hours we put into our work and the things that go into the work. To understand, like, you know,
not even the work itself, but also thinking of what to do.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Yeah,
and just learning the language of discussion, learning the characteristics of commenting,
the history,
and
of
the
it.
History and the importance, the foundations of everything. I think the main thing is that your art is valid if you go to school. Your art is valid if you decide not to go to school. And that this statement of you're not a real artist, or you have to live and breathe art, is so arbitrary. Like, it shouldn't, those shouldn't be things you say to people.
Right.
And those shouldn't be qualifiers of your work or experience or what you want to do, you know? Like, it's.
Yeah, and another thing, actually, at, like, a public art fair kind of thing, we were selling artwork, and a woman, oh, may I say that she was white, she comes up to me, and she's like, "Are you a starving artist?" Like, smiling. And I said, no. And she seemed upset that I didn't say yes.
What?
Yeah.
Like, you need to be starving for her to buy your work?
That I need to be starving to be an artist.
Ew.
That I need to be, like, you know, what is your perception of art or of an artist that I need to be in this little, like, corner of your mind?
Pigeonholing. Like, what are those steps? Yeah, I don't think I've had any direct experiences where people kind of question me or my art, and I think that's because I don't let people know that I do art, and I'm very vague about what I do. The only thing I can think about is, like, my mom, my family, kind of. I also keep them in the dark about what I do, because a lot of what I do is, like, about them.
Yeah.
But, like, kind of them, my mom's idea of what an artist is kind of,
yes,
like, it's kind of funny. At one time, she showed me, she just discovered Instagram, and she showed me this, this was Facebook, never mind. She showed me this video of, like, the crayons, gluing them,
like, melting crayon
where you
art.
Put the blow dryer, and then it
melts.
Yes,
to those of you that do that, do your thing. But that's not what I do. And she kind of, she showed me, like, that kind of genre of art. Like, instant art, very pretty,
yeah,
very, like, eye-catching, very simple, easy to digest. She's like, "Oh, mija, eso es lo que haces? Like, this is what you do?" I'm like, my heart dropped. It fell,
yes,
down to my stomach. I'm like, "No, Mom, haven't you seen the trash I've been collecting?" I mean, I understand that it's a little hard for people who are not familiar with movement, art, or art concepts, a little hard for them to understand. And always she's asking me, "So what artist are you trying to be like today?" I'm like, no one.
Just myself.
My own me.
Yeah,
so that's the only thing I've come across, like, what an artist is in her mind, but I
think that is a good point to bring, because, like, when I think about my mom, and I also don't, you know, they see me working on stuff.
Uh-huh.
I never explain what the work is about to them. And when I have a finished product, if I do, like when I was working on the books, the little handmade journals,
uh-huh,
a lot of that was collage. It wasn't very straightforward. There's a lot of text. There's text backwards. There's text covered up. When she sees something like that, she doesn't understand it. So she doesn't ask me about it. The things that she likes are the things that I was doing 4 years ago, which were, like, very nice, floral, illustrative,
yeah,
things. So, like, for her, that's what's framed in the house.
Yeah.
And for someone else, like, our professors, that was
a good starting point.
Somewhere to start, and then where we ended is, like, the grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
But then someone who's not in school might be confused. Someone who's a hobbyist might not see, you know. So it's just so different from your career, your age, you know, your understanding, your familiarity with of art. So I just think it's, like, such a dumb thing to say to people. Like, do you live and breathe art?
Yeah.
Are you a real
artist?
Are you a starving artist? I just think, like, we need to be conscious and aware of, like, how we're addressing people and how our statements might come off as belittling or not recognizing the value of something.
Right.
And there have been times where I've even lied. You know, I work at a department store, and sometimes when I work in guest services, so there's times where people are waiting on products or information or whatever, and in the meantime, they'll make conversation and they'll ask me, like, "Oh, what do you go to, like, are you going to school?" I'll say yes. They say, "What are you going to school for?" And sometimes it's easier for me to lie and say, "Oh, art history," because if I say, "Oh, I'm, you know, I'm going to school for drawing," they'll be like, "Drawing? So you just draw pictures all day? That's so nice."
Yeah,
and that's
like,
so, and
oh,
or
God,
the
people think it's easy.
Easy.
Oh my
or,
God! It's
and I've had
easy.
The same thing where it's like, why drawing? Like, yeah. Why do you need to go to school? You know, it's just like, when, like, I just don't understand how people think that that's decent conversation, decent questions. Like, it's just very rude and unbecoming of people to behave like that towards strangers. Most of these interactions have been strangers. You know, you wouldn't invalidate someone else's corporate job or career or any other field of work. You know, like, if you're a plumber and you go to school for plumbing or you apprentice under someone else, you're not going to tell that person that one experience was more valid than the other, because that's still their job, that's still their performance, they're still completing that task. Mm-hmm. Any field, you wouldn't ask somebody that, or you wouldn't invalidate someone's means to an end. But with art, people feel so open to judge and dismiss.
Yeah.
And it's just, I've had it.
Yeah, and that's officially another thing, like, that people don't really see it as a real job, yeah. I think, because they don't know anybody, or they don't, like, you, that's not the something you see on a front page. Like, you know, I think since we are artists, we surround ourselves with an art community, so that's something we see regularly. But for people who are not, or who don't know other artists, it's not something they see on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So for them to comprehend that art is a real occupation, work. Yeah, like, they just don't know how.
Do you guys feel comfortable calling yourselves artists?
I...
Like, if someone asks you if you're an artist, do you say...
I don't say artist, I say painter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, that feels a little bit more comfortable to me.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel that sometimes when people call themselves artists, they come off elitist.
How so?
Like, saying, like, yes, I'm an artist. Or just, like, that word. Like,
yeah,
claiming that word. It can be, like, it can feel weird to me. But I do consider myself one.
What about, like, border artists?
I would not consider myself a border artist.
Because there's a certain connotation with it that you're supposed to be doing art of the border, but just...
I mean, I think I'm an artist who lives in the border,
yeah,
on the border, but I wouldn't consider myself a border artist because I don't make work about the border.
Huh.
Do you feel comfortable calling yourself an artist?
I do not. I jokingly call myself a drawer. Which kind of, like, it's perfect because what is... Because there's painter, there's printmaker, there's...
Metalsmith.
Metalsmith.
Photographer.
Sculptor. What do you call ceramics?
Ceramicist.
Okay.
Yeah, for drawing, drawer?
Yeah, I'm a drawer.
I asked Terry this, and she's like... Well, you don't just draw, do you? I'm like, that's right, Terry. I don't just draw. So, drawer kind of fits me because, like, I collect things and sometimes...
You're looking
cute. I love that for you.
Yeah. I even had, like, this little joke of, like, my little business card being in the shape of a drawer. I don't know. Something
that'd be so cool. No, that's cool. No,
yeah. No. Well, but that's just jokingly calling myself a drawer, but I really don't feel like I have a proper title to myself because I do not feel like a photographer. I just take photos. I don't feel like a printmaker because I've technically not traditionally done a print. And oh, no, wait, I did paper plate lithography, but, like, those were all right, I guess. But, it, like, for a while, I haven't done a traditional print, and... For photography, I'm still a mega amateur. And for drawing, yeah, I can draw and stuff, but I don't do, like, what a traditional drawing is defined as.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a drawer.
Mm-hmm. I know. I feel like also some people might not... Because, like, drawing is so open.
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, you could work in like watercolor but still be somebody who draws. You can work with collage but still be somebody who draws. Yeah. There's just so many mediums of drawing.
Collage. Oh, you said
collage.
So I've actually been asked collaged. So during one of my critiques, like a quick sidebar, during one of my critiques, someone asked me, well, how is this a drawing? Because what I presented is just pieces of paper with writing on it and writing of descriptions of trash that I found. And this person asked me, well, how is this a drawing? And
I've gotten that so many times.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, it is or it isn't for you, but to me it is. And I did not feel like, I really didn't feel like putting up with it then. I was like, well, fuck you. Like, well, how is what you're doing any better than what I'm doing? To each their own, whatever. But I did not appreciate that question. Like, are you?
Yeah, I understand because, like, I feel like my last semesters, I wasn't drawing at all.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it was drawing. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it was, I was doing it in drawing class. Uh-huh. And it was just drawing with thread, drawing with, fabric. It was a type of drawing for me. If they don't want to see it that way, it's fine.
Yeah.
But drawing is perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
An open one.
Yeah, convince me and I'll believe it. Yeah. What about you? What are we talking about?
Drawing, just...
Oh, or labels. How do you feel comfortable calling yourself an artist?
I don't know. I feel like before I would have been like, yeah, like, that's what I am, that's what I do. And that's how, like, my coworkers, when they ask me, like, what I go to school for, they're like, oh, like, she's an artist, she can do this, or blah, blah, blah. But then there are people who perceive it as an elitist term. But I don't know, I don't see artist as a bad or elitist title unless you make it that way. Yeah. Like, that's, like, your own ideas or perceptions of it.
Oh,
I feel
they say it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're an artist.
Oh, I'm an artist.
Yeah, like, I feel like, what else would I call myself? Because I'm not just a printmaker, and I'm not just a drawer. I'm not just
a
collagist. You know, like, how do you...
I was going to say sewing machine.
Yeah, I'm not a sewing machine. Like, how else would I call that? And what other term could I use that wouldn't come off snobby or pretentious to someone else? Like, what term can I use that's not going to be offensive to somebody that's going to say that, you know, like, how else could I call myself?
Yeah.
So I don't see it as a bad term. I wouldn't be upset if someone said, oh, she's an artist. And I wouldn't be afraid to tell someone, oh, yeah, I'm an artist. Like, I these are my ideas and these are my things. But then when you hear other people talk about it, you're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't say that I'm an artist. Maybe I shouldn't be comfortable with that term. So I don't know how I feel about that.
Like, when I'm here with you guys, I'm like, yes, I'm an artist. But like you said, like when you talk to strangers or people who might not understand, it's just...
Do you live and breathe art? Are you really an artist?
Yeah, it's just so...
Can you draw me this picture of this comic book character that I really like? No. I thought you were an artist.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So it's just... I guess there's never really going to be a way of getting around it. And I don't know. It's going to be something that everyone has to face and decide for themselves.
So the point is no.
The point is no.
Breathe art. Breaks are good. Not looking at art all the time can be good. I don't know, like...
Sometimes you need those mental and physical breaks from those things.
To do something else.
And they can be very heavy.
Just also, like, not being obsessed with making perfect art, I guess you could say.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, I'm an artist, it has to be perfect. Like, you know, you can put a pressure on yourself that you are only, like, taking steps backwards, I guess you could say. So, yes, I'm an artist. No, I don't live, breathe, and share art.
I'm just a drawer.
No, I think that's it, guys. I think that wraps it up for this episode. There wasn't really a solution. There wasn't really anything except for don't feel bad about defining or not defining what you are. Mm-hmm. And don't let someone else tell you what you are and what you're doing. You know, make those decisions for yourself and feel confident in it. And just celebrate that you're pushing yourself to do something like this, to work creatively, because it's something that not a lot of people can do to begin with. It's a very, very tough thing mm-hmm. to do. And if it comes very naturally and easy to you, good for you. And if you have to work a little bit harder at it, that's fine too. And just don't let other people discourage you, and don't let titles discourage you either. It's tough, and of course it's always going to be something to think about, but you shouldn't stress it, you shouldn't over worry, shouldn't overthink these things. Just do and just make, and that's all you can do. And take your breaks when you need to. Breaks.
Like, I know we're concluding. If you can spend 15 minutes making art, it doesn't make you less of an artist from someone who spends 5 hours a day making art.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marissa said, don't let these labels, don't let what people say tell you that you are less of an artist.
Yeah.
All
right, guys.
Nothing else to say.
That ends it for today. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, if you guys have any comments, please email us at sundays@sarahs@gmail.com or or DM us, please, on Instagram at sundays@sarahs. Just like that, Sarah with an H.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and please join us for our next episode.
We'll see you next Sunday.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.